Good evening. Hi. I was in the woods this morning. I was wet. Shall we pray before we start? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word this evening. And Lord, thank you that you just want the best for us. And that you know each and every one of us here intimately. Our fears, our thoughts, our worries, our anxieties. And I pray now that you will just open our hearts, Lord, open our hearts in a fresh way to the truth of your word, Lord. And I pray that you'll speak to each one of us this evening, Lord, and take us deeper into relationship with you. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Amen. So, living a life without worry. Have you seen this picture on the internet? A lovely picture from an American church. And it says, don't let worries kill you, let the church help. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, yes. So how many of you worry? How many of you worry? And of course, those of you who don't, who haven't put your hand up, there is healing ministry afterwards to sort you out. And how many of us have a problem or know where to get one? How many of us are perhaps sitting next to a person who looks like they've got a problem? How many of you are sitting next to your problem? What I'm saying is we all worry from time to time. And I've got to say, it's hard to stand here. And I think tonight, what I really want to do, I just want to encourage us. I'd hate if anybody left here this evening feeling guilty. This is not making us feel guilty because we worry. This is about just encouraging us to think differently about God's truth here. And it is hard to stand here and talk to you about worrying because, you know, I look out and I know so many people here in my family. And I know that some of you have gone through some really, really tough things and are still going through tough things that I have never had to experience. And so it's hard for me to say simply, don't worry. And I think it's really important to say that also I'm not referring here to mental ill health. I think there's a real difference between worry and mental ill health. Very different thing. And I would like to say that worry is not the same as concern. You know, concern says there's an issue, and I'm going to deal with it, and with prayer, and with God's help, I can get through it. But worry says, oh, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm fearful, I'm scared, and I don't know if I'll get through this. And it's a little bit, I was trying to think, I remember somebody saying to me, worry is a little bit like putting your car in neutral and revving the engine, it's burning oil, it's burning petrol, and it's hard on the engine. And actually, it's getting you nowhere. That's such a great sort of picture for me. And Mr. Google says this, 40% of the time, we worry about things that will never happen. How true is that? 30% concern things that can't be changed. 12% center on criticism, that actually is mostly untrue. 10% relates to health, which worsens when you worry. And only 8% are legitimate concerns that you can probably do something about. But most of the time, we worry about things that will never happen. And I do think, you know, I do think that worry is one of the devil's greatest weapons because it steals our joy. It steals our contentment of the here and now. It steals our happiness. And when we become so wrapped up in worry about tomorrow, about next week, about next year, about the future, about yesterday, we never find peace today. To be in the present moment now. And absolutely, over the last year or so in my life, there's been a few things going on that have really challenged me to get to grips with truly starting to own some basic biblical truths. Because, you know, there is no halfway house here. We've either got to believe that this is the word of God, God breathed, or we don't. There isn't a halfway house here. And I'm continually learning that if I want to experience the transformational life that God absolutely intends for us all to have, then I and we perhaps need to reflect on our personal obedience, our discipline and belief, and start practicing and living out these truths. That's what I'm learning time and again. I think Mark, yeah, I saw you earlier, Mark said when we came back from New Wine, and it was great really, we either start actually believing the words we sing or we don't. And it's a little bit like we either actually believe the words we hear and read in the Bible or we don't. And I don't know you, my life is a bit like this. I talk to God and I say, okay, so far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't gossiped. I haven't been grumpy or nasty or selfish. I've passed all my worries into your hands and I've trusted you and I'm really chuffed with myself. And in a few minutes, I'm going to have to get out of bed and start the day. And I'm really going to need your help. You know, that's the reality of the situation. And we need to take this subject of worry so seriously because it stops us being the person that God wants us to be. I've said it already, it robs us of joy. It makes us self-focused and less attentive to the things that's going on. It stops our ability to recognize the good things, to smell the roses, to see the beauty, and it just drags us down. And absolutely, it affects our health. But on top of that, and more importantly, worry paralyzes our ability to trust God. Because when we worry, it says, I've got a problem, and I don't think God can actually take care of this and get me through it. And so what does that actually say about our faith in God? What does it actually say? And when we think about it, what kind of faith does it reveal to someone when we are so worried about different things in our life? Because what we're actually presenting to others is a picture that says, I don't believe God can handle this problem. And that's quite significant, isn't it? As a Christian, to actually acknowledge that I'm going to worry myself and worry and worry and worry because actually I don't trust God to get me through this problem. And Jesus took it so seriously. He knows how spiritually toxic worry is and that the command to not worry or be afraid is the most repeated command in the Bible, repeated more than any other single instruction because Jesus knows it disconnects us from this power of the living spirit. That's what it does to us. And I do think we live in a world now where worry is so part of our DNA, isn't it? And it's so deep. It's so deep within us. But the peace that we yearn for, the peace that God wants us to have, that the Bible talks about, is much, much deeper than any sort of self-help technique to reduce stress or anything. For us to experience God's peace, we need to have the total conviction that goes right down to the core of our being, from our head to our heart to our bellies, that all things are in God's hands and therefore it's going to be fine. And so you can let the worry go and live free of the burden of worry. And I know it's great to stand here and say that, because I know I have worried regularly about many things. I know, as my husband keeps telling me, you're a people pleaser, I'm a people pleaser, I want to solve things. I worry if I'm not liked or accepted. I worry that I may have upset people. I worry that I let people down. I've worried about my exams in the past. I've worried about my career, my progression, my work. Am I doing a good job? Am I doing a bad job? Will I get a new client? Will I lose a client? And then you have kids. Oh, my word, you have kids. Kids out there, seriously, another level of worry. And then I've got my elderly mother in Wales, and that's a worry. And have you ever found yourself sometimes, and you're walking, and you know, I'm walking along thinking, oh, I'm not worrying about anything. There must be something. What is it? Oh, yeah. It's almost that shock. There isn't something going on in your head, and it's so frustrating. And this worry is not new to humanity. And yes, of course, we have a new layer of stress with technology and the speed of life and the stress that brings us. But in Jesus' time, this message to not worry to those around him was even harder for Jesus to give and for them to hear. Because when people around him said they didn't have anything to wear, I mean, they actually probably didn't have anything to wear. If somebody didn't come through the town that day, that week, that month with the things they needed, they would not have had them. Life was hard and they had concerns probably even greater than we have. And most of us here would, you know, are we really truly worried if we will eat? If we will eat? Yeah, we may think about what kind of food I like and want, but actually we probably, most of us, I pray here tonight, know that we can eat when we go home and there's food in the house tomorrow. And when we say, I don't have a thing to wear, not a thing to wear, of course we've got a thing to wear. We just don't like what we've got to wear. But yes, in Jesus' time, you know, there would not have been food. Clothing would have been scarce. And Jesus yet still confidently turns to his disciples and says in verse 22, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. And consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." And I'm sure if he was here today, he would be saying to us, look, life is so much more valuable than the stuff we've got, the material possessions that we get and collect, our exam results, which university I go to. Life is more important than that. So don't worry. And just for those of you who had exam results or waiting, my first round I had 3 O-levels and 2 very bad A-levels. And I'm still here. I'm still here. And you know, Jesus is addressing them in this passage right where they and we are at. Because God just gets it. He gets us. He knows that we all struggle with worry. He gets that we all have fears, that we have anxieties and worries. And he pleads with us to stop. But it's not easy, is it? Because sometimes it's right in our face. It's the thing that absolutely we are staring into day in, day out. And when we worry, we allow our mind to dwell continually on difficulties or troubles. And then sometimes we allow them to take this ridiculous dark turn. And I just think, you know, we think of this worst end result. A few months back, Rihanna and Joe, my daughter, were heading back to Lancashire on Sunday evening. And 3 or 4 hours in, I'm just texting, "Hey, how's it going?" No answer. And I thought, strange. Hour later, "Hey, how's it going?" No answer. Well, clearly they've had an accident. Then I'm ringing, go straight to answer phone. Dave, I said, "It's not right. There's something really wrong." I am now praying. I'm saying, "God, what's happened to them?" I'm visualizing what's going on. Of course, they just found a nice pub on the way to Lancashire, turned a phone off, and had a lovely meal on the way home. And yet, I allowed it to take this dark turn. And our Heavenly Father knows how damaging worry is to us, both physically and spiritually. And in verse 25, he says, you can hear his frustration almost. "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And since you can't, then don't worry." And that's a good question, is it? Because the answer, we can't add anything to our life. But how do we stop worrying? I took my mum back. Oh, my mother, bless her. She always comes into these sermons. And you know, whenever I'm preparing for a talk, I always ask God, please just give me something. Please just give me a really good example. And God has blown my mind away this time. Because I take mum back and I spend a few days there down in Wales. And we live in a street, I was born in a street, 12 houses, 10 or 12 houses. And it's called Sea View because we overlook the sea. And Goya lives next door but one to my mother. And Goya has lived there 51 years. And so I was a little girl when Goya was there, and Emrys, her husband. And Goya's, she's a character. Even now, she's just hitting 80, never wears shoes. She only wears shoes if she's going in the car out shopping. Otherwise, she will never wear shoes. And she's a woman you wouldn't argue with, really. I can best describe Goya. But she's always full of life, very positive, full of life. And wonderfully for us, Goya comes in every morning to see my mother. 9 o'clock, in through the front door, shouting, "Door, are you still alive?" she shouts. Yeah. Really, she does shout that. And she came in, and Goya came in. She sat on the sofa, and Mam and I are there in our pyjamas. And Goya, bless her, 3 years ago was diagnosed with leukemia. But also, 9 weeks ago, she had a heart attack. And there she is sitting on the sofa, and I said, "Goya, my goodness," I said, "you've been through the mill." And I got to say, our arms are all bruised and battered from the leukemia. I said, "You've had a really worrying time, haven't you?" "What?" she said. "What?" I said, "You've had a worrying time. You've been very worried." "Linwen, shame on you as a Christian woman talking about worry," she said. And I'm sitting there going, whoa. And she said, 2 things I learned as a young girl. You never, ever question our Creator Father why. You never ask him why. And you never worry because that's an insult to God, she said. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, good grief. I mean, I was speechless. Anyway, she said, "I've got to go. I'm going shopping to Asda and I've got to get dressed." And off she went. Goya is living the Christian life. I mean, her obedience was awesome. And I think of myself, you know, I bring home to Mum all my Christian books. I'm going to read them all. Goya just lives the biblical truth. She believes the biblical truth. She's obedient to the biblical truth. And it was such a witness to me. And I reflected back in the car on the way home. And I'm just thinking, God, what my worrying says is that I don't trust you. We think that he is not who he says he is. Is that what I'm saying? And that he doesn't actually have a good plan for us. And that he doesn't want to bless us. Well, we know that's not the God. We know that. And yet, why do we worry? And yet what we do, we constantly take the reins of our own life and we think, I'll sort it. And you know, Paul in the Bible has always been one of my favourite people in the Bible, just because of the journey he went on, just because he was Saul and he became Paul, and it still blows me away. And in Philippians 4, I've got a life verse. And you know, if anybody hasn't got a life verse, I'm not very good at remembering verses in the Bible. If I'm useless at remembering verses in the Bible. And somebody said to me one day, just learn one really important verse, Lynwen, and hang on to that. And it's this that I hang on to, and it's Philippians 4. 7-9-ish. And Paul says to us, the Lord is near, so do not worry. And he's really serious about this, because Paul, he said, don't worry about anything. And he had some really serious things to worry about in his life. But he says, look, by prayer and petition, just present it all to God, and he will guard your hearts and minds. And this is the promise. This is the promise. This is the offer. This is the opportunity. Which is not about us having to work harder, having to be better people, having to be nicer people. No, it's just instead of worrying, we must pray and trust. And only then will the peace of God pass all our understanding and guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Paul became this fearless person because he absolutely owned that promise. And friends, we need to own this promise. The Holy Spirit strengthened Paul, and he had this continual relationship with Christ. And this is about us, what I'm realizing, this is about us making every minute, every hour of our day focused on Christ. Not the beginning of the day, not the end of the day. Bizarre thing to say, I have a huge respect for the Muslim discipline of prayer. You know, 5 times a day, they know that this, the most important obligations in their Islamic faith is to be reminded to seek God's guidance and forgiveness. We should be constantly seeking God's guidance, forgiveness, help, support, love, etc. And the thing is, see, I want this transformed life that God's prepared for us. I want it so much. But we need our own personal discipline of being in continual relationship with Jesus. And I think what I've realised and what's really helped me over the last year is because I used to write off worrying, oh, it's just part of my personality, it's who I am. But now that I've realised that worrying is a sin. Because God tells us so many times in the Bible, don't worry, that we need to understand and teach ourselves that worry is not an option. And that's what Goya said to me and my mother's. You are insulting your loving father by worrying. You are expressing your lack of trust and faith in God. And so as soon as we feel ourselves moving into the state of worry or anxiety, we've got to stop right there and say, no, I'm not going there. I'm going to actually pass it over to my father. I'm going to pray and trust him. Can you imagine, just imagine for a moment, living a life like that? Just for imagine never worrying again in your life. Imagine facing financial difficulties or work difficulties with an inner poise and a peace and a strength. Imagine receiving bad news and perhaps generating this constructive way to solve the problem rather than going to this worst case scenario. Imagine messing up big time, really big time, and making mistakes. Acknowledging it and moving forward confidently. And then imagine, people, colleagues, neighbours, family members, people who come into contact with you regularly, when they are upset or discouraged, and they come to you because of what they see, because you are contagious. The Holy Spirit is a non-anxious presence. The Holy Spirit is a non-anxious presence. And that's the role it plays. And Jesus carried peace with him, didn't he? We know he carried peace with him. He never said, follow me and you'll never have problems, mind. He never said that. Because we know he faced huge problems. Always getting into trouble. But peace comes from walking with the Holy Spirit. And God simply doesn't want us to live a life of worry or fear. But we do need to realize that because of our human frailty, this does not happen naturally. I'm not going to walk out there tomorrow, I'm sure, and you know I will come across myself worrying about something. But we have to be intentional. We've got to be so intentional about this. And this does take effort. It takes huge effort until it becomes a habit of our hearts and our minds. Until it becomes the norm of who we are. And that is why our discipline is going to be so important. To be in God's presence and to pray is going to be so important. Because when we do, prayer means we allow God into our life and his peace to stand guard over our heart and mind. And we must remember God's commands are so good for us. He does not want to destroy us. We are not going to be saying, oh, I love worrying, God. Why are you taking that away from me? Please let me have some more worry. Not at all. God wants us to walk in the light. And in verse 28, Jesus says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And Jesus said, look, if God cares so wonderfully for the grass of the field, then why do you have so little faith? And that is the question of the day sometimes, isn't it? Why do I have such little faith? Because we fear that perhaps God won't come through, that he will let us down. What is it? And yet, when I actually stop and look at the reality of things, it's people who let us down, perhaps not intentionally or deliberately, but it's people, whether it's mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, friends, partners, work colleagues, they are the ones who have hurt us. And yet so often we try to attribute it to God. We say, God, why have you let this happen? And yet actually the reality is God is the one carrying us through all these things and difficulties when we are most hurting. As Aaron said last week so wonderfully, he's there with his arm around your shoulder, rubbing your back, saying, I've got you. It's okay, I've got you. So what I think we have to think about and what I have to think about is what do I really value? And until we value the kingdom of God more than our kingdom, we're going to continue to live in our own strength and we will continue to worry. And verse 29 to 31, Jesus says this, do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom, and then these things will be given to you as well. God knows our needs, friends. He knows our needs better than we know them. And the formula is right here. Seek God above everything else, and he will give you everything you need. Seek God and look into his wonderful face. And that's this wonderful upside-down kingdom about God. When we trust him, release our hold on everything, our stuff, our money, our worries, then he will meet our needs. Anne, I can see you in the back, Anne Donaghy. You sent me a little while ago this wonderful link. And can I just say, friends, keep encouraging each other with sending verses, sending songs, sending prayers. You never know how they touch people. And you sent us a link of this hymn. Have you got the words on the screen? I don't, you know, it might not have them. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Because the truth is, when we seek his kingdom, when we look to Jesus, we look full in his wonderful face, then we get the right perspective on our lives, on our worries. Because next to him, next to his light and his glory and his grace, our worries will be put in their place. They will not become all-consuming. They will become strangely dim because of his glory and his love for us. So I encourage you tonight and the week ahead to think about what you are willing to release to God, what you need to release to God. What worry, what fear, what anxiety do you struggle with over and over again that you may have just let become part of your life and that you need to let go of and trust him? Because living a life without worry starts with our own obedience. As soon as I can see that little worm of worry in my head, I sing that song straight away. And I'm back focused on Jesus. And it will transform us when we start really, really looking to God for everything. It'll transform our lives, and the people around us will see that we live out what we believe. Shall we stand and pray? And we're going to sing that in a moment. Let's just pray a moment. Jesus is saying to us all here now, I tell you, do not worry about your life. You are so valuable to me. But seek my kingdom and I will provide for you so you can just stop worrying. And God, we just thank you. We thank you for your love for us and for the truth of your word. And Father, we pray that we will own that truth. Forgive us when we fall short of trusting you and trying to live in our own strength. And we ask for your blessing on every single one of us here this evening, particularly those of us who are carrying worries, fears, anxieties about any aspects of our lives, Lord. And I pray that we will all know deep in our souls, deep in our bellies, Lord, that we will know your desire for us to trust you and to stop worrying. And so, Lord, I ask you to open our hearts to receive your love, to receive the power of your spirit, Lord, so that our trust in you will be more powerful than worry and more powerful than pray. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.